Thank you, Will. And my name, as has been said, is Christophe Courchain. I'm from the Conservation Law Foundation. Many of you probably know what CLF is all about, but I figured that for those who don't, we're a legal organization that operates throughout New England to address environmental problems and really protect what we have here in New England. And so when this project was proposed, it's really in the center of our work, because we have a number of programs, and one of the biggest programs is a clean energy and climate change program. And so the first thought that you might have is, well, you've got a regional group, New England-based, that, you know, cares about climate change. Maybe this is the project for us. Well, we looked at the project, and it's not for us. And this is a phrase that Ken has used. You know, it's a real classic greenwash. The more we've looked into it, so what's our perspective on it? You know, our perspective is that this project to be a good decision for the region needs to advance a cleaner energy future, and it needs to have minimal impact on both sides of the border, and it really fails both those counts, as you look more closely at it, and as we all have looked more closely at it over the course of the last 18 months, really 2 years, since it really started to come out. And so we are the law firm that's working on this right now, you could say. We're working on it from the perspective of, you know, what are the impacts on the ground, both from the source of power and the new transmission lines. We're also looking at it from the energy system perspective, where we have a lot of expertise, and New Hampshire is unfortunately, in an energy system perspective, fairly backwards in the way we're doing things, and the Exhibit A is PSNH, and this project is actually helping PSNH be more backwards than pushing PSNH into a better place for the entire state. So we bring those two lenses to it, and so what have we been up to? As I mentioned, you know, we're trying to understand what all these claims that have been made in support of this project are. What are the claims, and are they, you know, do they hold up? We've gone through a number of them, and each one falls under when you put it to scrutiny. Because really this project is being marketed as a clean energy panacea for the region. And unfortunately, that argument has registered with low information folks in the southern part of the state to some degree. Not to a great degree, but to some degree. And when you invest millions of dollars in advertising, it's going to have some effect. If you look at the source of the power, if you look at the choices that have been made about where the line is going and what it's going to look like, and what, as Will mentioned, what the investment is going to be, we've really come to the conclusion that through some analysis and through some studies and looking at the research, particularly on the impacts north of the border, that it just really doesn't add up, and what we're being sold is not what we'll get. So we've been working on that. We've been working on the legal side in terms of the permitting process. And I think Will's right to look at the permitting process as many people have said. It's a way to get to yes. That's the way it's structured. And that's, unfortunately, the legislative and regulatory backdrop we're dealing with. That doesn't mean that a project of this magnitude, with this complex a permitting process, doesn't provide substantial opportunities to, A, in the first instance, make the permitting process better, and in the second instance, raise and make a record of important things that should have been done that have not been done. And we really, with Will and AMC and some of our conservation partners, and actually number of residents and citizens. We've really pressed a number of these issues from day one, from the issue of the contractor and its conflict of interest, through last year when we fought for a regional look at this energy system and transmission needs, and how to bring down power from Canada before we go through with Northern Pass, which is just one proposal designed to benefit one particular proponent, kind of paragon of bad planning. We've asked for these things. We've made good faith requests for them, and they've either not been acted on in some cases. We've won some with respect to the contractor, but we're putting together a record in the federal process, which is the one that's ongoing now, and we will do the same thing with the state process, of trying to make these processes better for the people of New Hampshire so that they scrutinize whether this thing makes sense. And we think in the final analysis, if there is a rigorous comprehensive permitting review done, that the inevitable answer of that is either no or there is a better alternative. So that's really been our approach. Looking ahead, I think that's the question we're here to discuss tonight. I'm very encouraged and hopeful about the SB 361 commission and its work. Likewise, there's a gubernatorial election coming up where I think we're hopeful that this becomes an important issue, and that all the candidates have to answer the question in a number of different ways and not just provide a pat answer, provide answer in detail. What do you support this? What could you support? And that's a political issue, and it's going to be one of the next few months. And then I think finally, I want to be sure to mention that really the economics of this project are really collapsing. That doesn't mean there isn't a strong degree of corporate inertia. It doesn't mean that Hydro-Québec, which doesn't necessarily have to operate by the rules of corporate America, doesn't see it as a long-term priority and therefore continues to push it. But in terms of the energy markets, it is a much less appealing project today. And that's what that analysis that the power generators came out with demonstrated. It's kind of, there is a follow-up question, and so what does that mean for this fight? Well, it does create pressure in good ways, and it's also manifest in PSNH's difficult economic position, which continues to worsen. And so I think I spoke to a group last year around this time, and of folks who were very opposed to Northern Pass, and I kind of looked at it as there were two potential outcomes. One was a quick kill. Well, it hasn't been quite so quick, despite all the success that the opposition has had with legislation and pressuring, and as we'll emphasize. But there's still a window for that. There's still a window for the boardrooms and the politicians both to decide that this thing really does need to go back to the drawing board completely. Not just PSNH's drawing board, which I think has the same route on it that they've had all along. There is a long-haul process, and that's really CLF's expertise, is dealing with these long-haul processes. And it's going to take a sustained effort of many years if the utilities and the politicians don't decide to shelve it now. Because once these processes start, they have a certain... they have a certain inexorability to them, and that they will continue to march along, the investments will be made, it will take a resolve, and a resolve that all of you have shown. So thanks to Nancy, and thanks for inviting me, and I look forward to the discussion. Appreciate it.